Christian Chastity, Impossible Without the Eucharist. Eternal Life has featured its spiritual director, Jesuit Father John A. Harden, on numerous major forums. Because of his stature and distinction, a giant among theologians and philosophers, with 23 years of service to the Holy See, he is a natural to appear with His Eminence Jose Cardinal Sanchez. Father Harden was primarily responsible for his visit. We say, without hesitation, that what you will now hear is one of the most important talks he has ever given for eternal life. Attentive listening, several times as best, could well change a soul to strive for eternal life and avoid the fiery pool of burning sulfur, the second death. Father Harden.
Our subject is Christian Chastity, Impossible Without the Eucharist. This must seem like a strange title. What is strange about the title is a combination, Christian Chastity and the Holy Eucharist. We are living in the most sexually preoccupied age of human history. The very expression, Christian chastity, sounds either rhetorical or poetic or anachronistic. My plan for this talk is to cover three areas. St. Ignatius told us, whenever possible, divide your subject into three parts in honor of the Holy Trinity. Part one, what is Christian chastity? Second, why is Christian chastity impossible with the Holy Eucharist? And thirdly, how are we to grow in our practice of Christian chastity through the Holy Eucharist? What is Christian chastity? First, a short sentence. Christian chastity is the dedication to God of our powers of human reproduction according to the teachings of Christ. Thus, Christian chastity is first of all a dedication to God. We may call it a form of adoration of God or a sacrifice to God or a surrender to God. What we dedicate or sacrifice is our most sacred power as human beings to reproduce ourselves in other human beings. What do we dedicate or sacrifice to God in Christian chastity? We dedicate our powers of human reproduction. Everything we have has come to us from God. Consequently, we are to give back to God everything which He gave to us. And there is no human power that God gave us which is either more profound from one perspective or more sublime from another than our power of procreating other human beings. But remember, the power has been given to us by God. We are then to give it back to Him. God wants us to return to Him our powers of reproduction. These are the powers that enable us to reproduce ourselves, which we can do only because when human conception takes place, God creates an immortal soul. The human parents contribute only the body. God must individually, personally, and distinctively create an immortal soul every time that what we call conception takes place. These reproductive powers in Christian chastity are to be dedicated to God according to the teachings of the Son of God become man. If we further ask, what are these teachings of Christ? We answer, they are the teachings that are finally based on Christ's teaching on selfless love, otherwise known as charity. There would be no Christian chastity unless there first had been revealed the superhuman virtue of Christian charity. The love of God above all creatures, including the one creature that we most dearly and deeply and constantly and patiently love, who not coincidentally has our name. Loving God above all things, especially above that one thing that we naturally and spontaneously love so deeply. Christian chastity is meaningful only on the principle of Christian charity, loving others out of love for God. Here we ask again, what are Christ's teachings on chastity? We answer that His teachings correspond to the three fundamental levels that we as followers of Christ believe exist. And they are marital chastity, unmarried chastity, and consecrated chastity. If we finally ask, what is Christ's teaching on each of these three levels of the practice of Christian chastity? Marital chastity on Christ's terms was elevated by Him beyond anything ever known in the pre-Christian world. And I would add, beyond anything known now in the non-Christian world. Over the years in teaching comparative religion, I've told my students, the one really distinctive mark of authentic Christianity is the practice of Christian chastity. First, for the married, what is Christ's teaching? Lifetime monogamy. One man and one woman forming one flesh until death. Absolutely unknown outside of Christianity. And even within nominal Christianity, known only among those who are really honest to God Christians. No one else is. What is Christ teaching on marital chastity? Lifetime fidelity. Absolute prohibition of adultery. And not only in body, but even in mind. While teaching at a state university, after one of my classes, one of my Jewish students came and asked me, Dr. Harden, that's my alias, did I understand you to say that if I look at a beautiful girl, and want to have relations with her, that's wrong? I asked him what religion he had. He said, Jewish. Yes, it's wrong if you believe in Jesus Christ. But he said, that's impossible. Don't you dare say that's impossible. For the next 2 years, I counseled him in the most basic norms, even of Jewish chastity. What is Christ's teaching on marital chastity? Openness to the conception of children. Therefore, no contraception in any shape or form. There are two principal forms of sin against Christian marital chastity, and they are adultery and contraception. Christ's teaching on marital chastity is that there must be marital intercourse of body as an expression of deep, selfless marital love. Christ's teaching, still again, on marital chastity is that marital intercourse of body is to be a means of growing in marital love. So much, too briefly, on Christ's teaching on marital chastity, on married chastity. Christ taught his followers that the unmarried must practice chastity, I repeat, as no other religion ever has in human history before Christ taught his followers. None teaches them now, none will, and Christianity will survive only where there are still men and women who believe in Christ's teaching for the unmarried in their practice of chastity. Externally, no masturbation, no fornication, no sodomy. Internally, no deliberate either arousal, or if not aroused deliberately, no deliberate indulgence of sexual thoughts or desires or feelings. I've taught too many classes in Hinduism. I have graduate courses in Islam. I have taught in 6 Protestant seminaries. Christianity will survive only where there are still unmarried people who believe in what I have just identified. And the Catholic Church will survive only where there are still bishops and priests and religious and the laity who believe. Then unmarried chastity means, oh, what a sacrifice. The sacrifice of the deepest and strongest emotional body's enjoyment as an adoration of God with my body. And you don't need volumes to explain why. All you need is the faith. Faith that God became man, and that the God-man told us this is what he wants his followers to practice. What else did Christ teach? He taught what we now casually call consecrated chastity. the Son of God, make a man in order that he might show the world that he is really God by enabling his married followers to practice what we call marital chastity. His unmarried followers to practice the humanly impossible unmarried chastity. And he gave the grace to some of his followers to sacrifice even the deep God-given joys of marriage out of love for him, and his own words, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. This then is the chastity of consecrated life of those in institutes, religious institutes, secular institutes, who vow themselves to a lifetime sacrifice out of love. What are we saying? Out of love for a virginal God, to show how much they love him, the spouse of their souls. This is the chastity of priestly celibacy. When I read or hear, may God forgive them, members of the hierarchy, priests, urging, pushing, dare I say, coercing the abolition of priestly celibacy, I say to myself, what folly. And for some, I have to say it, what hypocrisy. This then is the chastity that Christ himself lived and made sure that he was even conceived of a virginal mother. All of that was part one.